February 16th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to start from the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We have studied last week what it means to keep the faith. I also looked up what it means by fighting the good fight. And I found out the same word, fighting, in Greek was used in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, with the part saying, strive to enter through the narrow gate. This word, to strive and to fight, is the same word in Greek. So if you know what kind of fighting you have to do to enter into the narrow gate, you can understand. And let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you're from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you're from. Depart from me, and all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. So if we want to enter the kingdom of God, I believe imitating Paul is the way to go, since he certainly entered into it, and much of his writings survives to be in the Bible, which shows that God is pleased with his work. I am sure there are letters written by many other disciples and other people, but none of them made it to the Bible, because they lacked the significance for the gospel. And when people asked Jesus whether only few are saved, Jesus did not deny the statement and even added saying, strive to enter through the narrow gate, and not many people will enter it. He even gave us a parable about the Lord not opening the door to those who came knocking on the door. Jesus said, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. This you, Jesus was referring, is the Jews in his time, but in this modern context after his resurrection, it is about us, the Christians, like the Catholics and Protestants. This eat and drink are spiritual acts like the communion, like eating the bread and drinking the wine. And you taught in our streets means the people are sitting under the teaching every week. But the Lord said, but he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you're from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Here, workers of iniquity means those who are working in the name of the Lord, but doing evil works like spreading a fable. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. As you know, Abraham is the father of Israel, so you might think that we have nothing to do with him, but in the New Testament era, we are spiritually grafted into his lineage, and to keep this spiritual inheritance, we have to enter through the narrow gate. If you just choose the easy way, which is the wide path and wide gate, like the Catholic popes telling people that there is no hell, and for those who are accepting this teaching, that's a wide gate. Some Protestants are saying, they're also saying that we would all be lifted up before the Great Tribulation, so you don't have to worry about the tribulation itself anymore. That's an easy one too, but But here we are trying to enter into the narrow path, and some people might not like it. But when the day comes, you will be richly rewarded. So to strive and then to fight the good fight is the same thing. And that is what you have to do to stay in the narrow path we are on. And I feel like this parable is saying that there are many people who thought they were on the right path and who thought they were doing the right thing, but later proved to be wrong in the end. So going to church every week does not bring you to salvation. Going back to the 2 Timothy, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I also want to look at the meaning of finishing the race. Let's look at the Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It says here that to finish my course, like a marathon, there is a set course for us to run on. In the marathon, you may be a record-breaking fast runner, but if you run on the wrong course, you will not be counted for the race. I believe everyone has a different course set by God. Paul had his course, which was to go to many places and to build many churches and to teach the Jews and Gentiles. In this 21st century in Japan, we may not be necessarily assigned to do exactly the same thing as Paul. As Paul said, my course, God has different course for each one of us. God has it all laid out for us. But we may be deceived and might not even see our own path. But the biggest mistake we could make as a Christian is to run the wrong course. When I first became a disciple, I was told the same thing, that God has a different path and purpose set for each one of us, and I did not understand that. But as I grew in the Lord, I learned that to be true. But most of us stumble here because not many people want to be discipled and give up one's life to be used by God. I was like that too. I did not consider this seriously until in my 40s. I did not even know why I chose to be a Christian and which direction I was heading to. I would go out on the street with my kids and give out tracts and stuff, but I did not really find it effective, nor I felt that I was doing anything of significance for the Lord. But when I started being discipled and started devoting myself to the things of God, I discovered my path God has set before me, and I am confident now that I am on the right path. If you don't know your path yet, I suggest you to serve at your church first. As you serve, you will discover your path. That's what happened to me. And when you are on the right path, many things will start making sense. I did not know why I studied English, but now I know why I did so. I did not understand why I had to bounce around churches, or worse, being expelled and not being able to settle down. But now I know the reason. If I didn't know many different churches, I could not do what I do now, which is to warn people. So if you have not discovered your path yet, I suggest you to seek one. Going back to the 2 Timothy, verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here, let's look at what the crown of righteousness is. Like the ancient Olympics used to give out the laurel crowns to the winners, we will be given the crown of righteousness when we finish the course. It does not say the crown of love or crown of beauty, but the crown of righteousness. As you know, there's a Winter Olympics going on in Sochi, Russia, and Japanese male figure skater won a gold medal. And for him to win the gold medal, there are certain requirements, like he has to perform certain jumps for a certain number of times. Same thing with other sports. And the requirement for the Christians is to win the crown of righteousness. So what is the righteousness? I looked up the Greek version, and it means being lawfully correct. So it means someone who keeps the law. For us Christians, we are to keep the word of God as our law. I have a driver's license and I don't drive now, nor I have a car, but I used to have a bike. And I remember going to a countryside, and when you come down a long hill, there was an intersection that you were supposed to make a full stop before making a left turn. And since it was in the countryside and there was no traffic, I sort of slowed down and I didn't make a full stop. Then I just went ahead and made a turn. But I saw in the corner of my eyes that there was someone hiding at the corner, a police. And he came out and gave me a ticket. It is because I did not follow the traffic rule. If you drive, you need to follow the traffic rule. And if you're a Christian, you have to follow the spiritual law in the Bible. Some people do not follow the rules, saying that they don't want to be like the Pharisees. I know someone who used to be like an elder of the church. But all of a sudden, he stopped going to the church on Sunday and stopped doing everything. But he still had his website or blogs that talks about his daily life. And then since I was worried about him, I was always reading what he was up to. And it says in his blogs that he will go to a Buddhist temple in the weekend and spend 2 days there. And then he also started saying that Sunday is not the only day we should have service. And we should not be like the Pharisee. And I felt like he was missing the mark. He was justifying for not following the rule, but Lord says to be obedient to the smallest thing. But in order to win the crown of righteousness, we have to follow the course, and I don't think there is any other way. Look at Paul's life and look at Jesus' life. They trusted God to the very end, even when they faced the difficulties. Jesus even said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But he was obedient till the end, same as Paul. He never got revengeful when persecuted. He just left his fate into God's hand. So I think that righteousness is to do God's will no matter what you are up against. And I think many Christians don't get that. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with me. Bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry, and Tychicus that I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he was greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me, may not be charged against them. So here he said that he was persecuted and taken to court, and when that happened, people who were with him did not defend him or stood by him. This shows that even when you know that you're doing God's work, when trial comes, as severe as life-threatening event or legal persecution, not many will stand by you to defend you. I don't want that to happen to anybody, but people might desert us, though God will never desert us. I want you to know that so when the time comes, and if the time comes, you will not be surprised. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. This tells us that he was taken to court, but then he was given an opportunity to preach the gospel to the Gentiles as his testimony, so it worked for his advantage. From verse 18, And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Great Prisca and Aquila and household of Onesiphorus, Aretas stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. In this letter, it really shows that Paul is reaching at the end of his life, like we all come to an end one day. Paul ended his as a prisoner and was executed. So did Jesus, but what came after that is more important. As it says in the book of Job, we came to this world naked, and we leave naked. Money, clothes, reputation, status, you can take none of those to the next life, so what we have here is not important. But we should always fix our eyes on the reward we would receive in the next life.